flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
So much going on. I mean, I was just trying to consume as much of this news of being out there as possible. And so many things to talk about. But there was one thing that kind of struck me as Donald Trump was talking about on Friday. He said that he was thinking about shutting down FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And on Sunday night, he issued orders for a commission to investigate the disaster response agency that we, you know, a lot of folks have had to deal with. And he was going to be signing an executive order to begin the process of reforming, overhauling, or maybe even getting rid of FEMA. And he basically said he don't think it's any good. He said he thinks it's antiquated. He sees it as a very big disappointment. He sees that it costs a tremendous amount of money to operate. It's very bureaucratic and it's very slow. I can't say that I really disagree with him. I've had to deal with FEMA in my former role, not only as sheriff, but as a chief financial officer, more so ever than as sheriff, because it's always the financial folks that are dealing with these organizations and in the aftermath of the organizations and trying to do and fill out the paperwork, get the reimbursements, this, that, and otherwise, an incredibly slow process. But, and I would say this, a lot of people don't really understand what FEMA is. FEMA's not really a full-time organization. It's a hybrid. They have a full-time administrative staff that then goes from X to X plus in the event of a disaster. And a lot of the folks that ultimately end up working for FEMA, especially in response, in urban search and rescue, and if FEMA's out there with the firefighters and everything else, are actually, for the most part, federal and state employees on assignment. They'll take leave from their regular job to go get paid by FEMA. They'll make more money getting paid by FEMA. What you'll also find is a lot of the management folks in the forestry division and the Corps of Engineers and a bunch of other divisions, not only within the federal government, but within state government as well, on special assignment to FEMA in the management positions of these particular events. That's why it is a big bureaucratic quagmire. And that's why you have people rolling in and rolling out on 60-day billets, because that's as long as they can take, or even shorter, as they can take off from work to go to work for FEMA to be very proactive in that response. So he's right in saying that it's a disappointment, and it costs a tremendous amount of money, the bureaucracy, and it tends to be very slow, because you'll never open a file and close a file with the same person in FEMA. It's never happened for me. In all the years that I served in the sheriff's office and dealt with FEMA, never happened. And I remember having conversations with my finance people, who are completely and totally frustrated that every week there was somebody new, and they had to re-educate them as to what it was that we were doing and why and this and that and everything else. Couldn't get clear guidance, couldn't get a clear understanding of what it is that they wanted from us. And, you know, we stayed on top of it, and it would just never go away. Ever. And they always seemed to ask for something that they had already had received, and it was on and on and on. You know, and I think in the aftermath of Katrina and Rita, maybe 10, 12 years later, we closed out the last file that we had with them. I used to know all the nomenclature. I've forgotten it now. But, you know, we closed it out. And actually, one time, I think we had a little mini party in the finance department, because it was like this had been a thorn in our side for such a long period of time. And for so many different quarters, we were promised that we were going to be able to close this file out and it'd be done with already. And some cases, consequential amounts of numbers. In other cases, inconsequential amount of numbers. But the reality was, we just were tired of dealing with them and all the paperwork and going through the process. It shows up in your audit. You know, you don't want to get written up. You want to stay on top of it and everything else, and you want to get it resolved. And for whatever reason, you could never do so. But the real reason is that it's really a part-time agency.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm not saying that, I'm not making these observations as criticism. There were a lot of well-intentioned people that I interacted with FEMA, truly, throughout the process. And they wanted to do the right things. But a lot of times there was a whole lot of bureaucracy standing in the way of them doing the right thing, which typically was the commonsensical thing. And in a lot of cases, the thing that they wanted to do didn't make any sense at all. because we were trying to apply a cookie cutter model to these horrific events, whether a hurricane or mudslides or fires or whatever, where the things are different. The way you respond is different. There's different challenges. And it never seemed to reach a healthy equilibrium or balance in trying to work through these processes with state and local government. And then part of the other issue is that FEMA ultimately ends up sitting on top of state GOSEP, the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. And GOSEP is your best friend as it relates to local government, because they seem to be able to communicate a lot easier with FEMA than you can directly with FEMA. So you have to have a robust response out of GOSEP, or otherwise you're not going to get much of anywhere. And I worked through that with different administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike, and if they did not have a robust and have someone there who knew the system with FEMA, things move slowly for the entire state. So there are a lot of reasons for things happening, and I know that FEMA gets the brunt of all of that, and I get it. I don't think it's all well placed in all cases. I think there's a lot of burden, or there's a lot of blame that should be shared by state and locals that don't take the time to educate themselves about a lot of these. But the rules could be simpler, and things need to be streamlined. And I believe that it's something that Donald Trump, and I was very excited about him on Friday making this announcement, to look at it. And quite frankly, I dare say, I think there are a lot of people in FEMA that are excited about it. They're excited about streamlining this organization and making their job easier. The hoops that they have to jump through are absolutely crazy, and I'm sure they don't enjoy jumping through them. And they'd like to see a change, because they'd like to accomplish things. A lot of the folks that I came in contact with really wanted the mission to end, to get through it, to get it over with already. So that's kind of the backdrop of it. You know, and some of the, there are so many anecdotal stories to tell with each and every event of almost laughable approaches to certain things, because there's not really FEMA training people to work together in teams or this or that. There's some of it. There's USAR, Urban Search and Rescue teams that come in. But these are mostly borrowed employees from other agencies. They have other jobs. They don't just simply work for FEMA. So when they're coming in and the immediate aftermath of it, you know, they're not, that's not what they do well. I mean, and we used to say all the time, really, in the first 5 to 7 days, if you don't control it, it ain't going to happen. And state and locals have to go into that storm with that clear understanding that it takes FEMA 5 to 7 days before you're going to see anything of any meaning coming to you from the federal government. And we took that very seriously. That's why we evacuated within the parish. That's why in the aftermath of Katrina, we recognized that we were no longer going to build district stations on the ground, that if we were going to be subject to flood, that we would build them up. That's why every district station has generator backup. That's why every district station would end up with 5 to 7 days, 5 to 7 DOS, that's days of supplies, that they could support themselves and they didn't have to rely on a supply chain to supply them with stuff. They had their boats, they had their high water vehicles, they had everything with them. We would split the organization, East Bank versus West Bank, so that they could totally stand up on their own. So in case we did not have the availability of a bridge and took that into consideration, and we moved our entire inventory into anywhere between 7 to 10 different high-rise garages throughout the parish. In fact, in Katrina, I think we lost either 11 or 13 vehicles. Because we knew that we couldn't rely on anyone else. We could only rely on ourselves. And then we could reinstitute our assets as water would go down, or as, you know, they were things would change on the ground, and we would be able to bring them back in to our plan of action. So I hope that in this relook at FEMA, and the reason I'm talking about this is that our elected leaders begin to look within and begin to look at ourselves in the mirror and understand what our frailties are, what our inconsistencies are, what we're not able to do, and take ownership of it. Because FEMA will never, and I don't care how well Donald Trump thinks that he's going to re-engineer FEMA, that FEMA is going to be the answer, because they will not. You have to control your own destiny to the best of your ability. I get it. You don't have the deep pockets, but this can't be all FEMA. This has to be a partnership, and this has to be an understanding of how we're going to go about doing this. And you have to financially set aside the dollars necessary and the equipment necessary to do what you were elected to do by your respective voters in your districts and election districts around the country. Plain and simple. It's easy to find a scapegoat, but everybody bears some responsibility in emergency response. I think it's a good thing, but I don't think it really should stop with just FEMA. It needs to go forward. Let's just look at a most recent example in the way that we responded here with the snow. It was a very deliberate process that they went through, albeit it might have been a little slow for some people, but you know what? We did not have a lot of property damage. We did not have a lot of loss of lives. We did not have a lot of injuries. We got through it in a very deliberate fashion. Most of that, if not all of it, came from state and local government. It didn't come from FEMA. But it's the same thing that has to hold true when you're responding to a hurricane or otherwise. It's the same process. It's the same process. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.